This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Man, I swear I'd be trying to chill. And then then I look up on a Sunday night and Sarah J is trending. This is y'all fault. Absolutely y'all fault.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Told me the truth even if it really hurt, cause you knew what I was worth.
That's love.
When you let me borrow money that you didn't really have, cause you knew what I was worth.
That's love.
When I was at my worst, you would tell me I would blow when I thought that I would burst.
That's love.
Told me how to help others and through that discover how to put myself first. And here we are again just confronting fears, where the pain or gain is a bunch of tears. Blood, sweats, and tears probably disappear when smoke starts to clear, their positions near. Pay attention to the folks who are fanning the flames. They're the ones who matter most in the gravity game. When stakes weigh you down and they stay around to pick up pieces and you off the ground.
That's love. Do. All right. Anyway, man. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J-Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society, and I sincerely thank you for lending me your ear, giving me a little bit of your time. You could be doing anything else in the world, but you're rocking with me right now, and you are much appreciated. Man, I'm trying to like just get back to the fun and tell some jokes and do some dumb shit and like not have to deal with anything too serious or political or any of that stuff. Like, I really don't want to do it. Y'all won't let me be great, man. Y'all won't just chill for like a week and let me just get back to having fun. Y'all gotta do something every week to grind my gears, as Peter Griffin would say. I swear to God, I'm trying to relax. Y'all just won't let me. This is y'all fault. Oh, man. So, you know, without further ado, let's get into it. A couple things got me mad in this mood this week. And I was really in a good mood, man. I was really in a good place. Everything came to a head like in the last 36 hours. It's crazy. Like, honestly, you know, I think I've talked about it on the last couple shows. Like, I've been recording shows at like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's really been, because I spend the whole week like trying to come up with something to talk about other than, you know, the elephant in the room, the bullshit, the serious stuff. And, I'll be struggling. And normally at the last minute, like something happens and it's like, boom, that's what I'm gonna talk about. Like, I had no intention really of talking about Kanye last week. And then Sunday night, he does a rally and I ain't even catch all the good parts. Like, I ain't even speak on the real crazy shit that he said, but I said I wasn't going to talk about him in this episode, and he still got a show. I apologize. But this was another one of those cases where this week, like, I was in a good mood, really, and really couldn't find something to talk about, and then in the last, like, 36 hours, you know, shit just went crazy for me. I got to spend some time with my daughter this weekend. We made a apple caramel dump cake, which is the worst name for dessert ever. Dump cake. Yeah, I understand you dump it all in the pan or whatever, and that's, but nah, I don't. Nah.
Stop it!
It's a horrible name. You can't. Dump cake. Anyway, me and my sweet pea, we did that this weekend. And I want to apologize publicly to anybody who tried some of this dump cake and may have, you know, contracted diabetes or something as a result. I, as an adult, should have known that pretty much adding candy to an apple pie and then covering it with cake mix and butter wasn't the brightest or healthiest idea. But it was for my little girl, and she loved it. She had a ball doing it. I had a ball, you know, being able to work on a project with her, you know, and see how excited she was to be able to help me cook something. So, in the long run, it was a win. Y'all are just collateral damage, you know. It is what it is. My bad. Speaking of collateral damage, and trust me, these segues are only going to get worse as the show goes on. Mike Dicker, Mike Dicker landed on my list this week. Surprise.
Surprise, yes.
He actually has me contemplating walking away from the X League. The X League, which was formerly known as the Extreme Football League, which was formerly known as the Legends of Football League, which was formerly known as the Lingerie Football League, is, you know, women's full contact, you know, football league. They do play in like sports bras and boy shorts and stuff, but it is an amazing athletic competition. I thoroughly enjoy it. And when I was really on the edge of like, you know, fuck the NFL, that was going to be my sport of choice. And it still might be. But, you know, Dicker, he had to, you know, he had to make some waves this week. Because I was really hurt. I talked about it on the show when this season got canceled. You know, I had plans to take, you know, the guys in my house out to one of the games and really, you know, bro out, have a good night. But the season got canceled. So I was definitely like fully invested in the 2021 season. I even sent the email to the X League, I don't know, contact info page or whatever. I sent them an email inquiring about like what needs to be done to get an expansion franchise. Cause I am sincerely seeking, I'm dead serious about this, about the DMV needs a X League team. We need a Lingerie Football League team. We need representation. We could dominate. I believe it in my heart. If you got the money, if you got the interest, let's get it together. There's venues in the city that we could use. I've done the research. We could do this. I need a team. But anyway, we need a team with an actual name.
Shots fired! Shots fired!
No diss to that other squad, the Washington football team. That's dumb as shit. Anyway, let me take a hit and calm down. excuse me. I'm very serious about that league and, you know, very interested in getting involved in the season and looking forward to it. And then, of course, you know, out of nowhere, Iron Mike, who is now the owner of that league, you know, had to come out with his comments against kneeling. You know, I guess with everything happening with the WNBA and I think like the women's soccer league, you know, there have been a lot of you know, demonstrations, you know, people kneeling in protest during the national anthem. So I guess he tried to get out in front of it. And I'm cool if you don't agree with the kneeling. I'm 100% cool. But there are limits to me to the way I'm trying to think of it right. There are limits to the outrage, you know. But yeah, there are things you can say to me that go too far. And maybe not even go too far, but they require opposition. Yeah, I've talked about it in the last couple of weeks about how I have this need to not sit on my hands anymore. And when I hear something that just I feel like requires some opposition, that I need to say something. So, yeah, what he said that really bothers me and that I've wanted to address for a while. Basically, he's quoted as saying, if you can't respect our national anthem, get the hell out the country. And my problem with that is that to suggest to a group of people that have helped build this country, that have sacrificed as much as any group, that they shouldn't try to change it for the better. They should just abandon it if they don't like something. That them somehow seeking change and fighting for change, you know, that's somehow disrespectful. I think it's more disrespectful to abandon the country that you love, that you're a part of, instead of trying to make it better than it is to kneel. We're invested in this country. You can't just tell us to leave if we don't like something. We're supposed to be able to change it. That's one of the pillars of democracy. You know, the people, we the people, you know, and so we the people should be able to demand change and you know, and fight for change. And that should be the go-to if we see a problem, not just, oh, fuck it, I don't like it here, I'm out. Like, nah, stop telling us to get the hell out. Like, the country wouldn't be the country it is without us. So let's work together to make it better for all of us. Like, you know, I don't know. I'm getting tired of hearing the get out shit, you know, but that's my opinion. He also went on to say, I think there's a way to protest and there's a way You don't protest. You don't protest against the flag. You don't protest against this country who's given you an opportunity to make a living playing a sport you never thought would happen. So I don't want to hear all that crap. Man, it's just the insensitivity of it. I hate this idea that somehow people think you can tell folks that there's a right way to protest. You know, like that they don't get what a protest is to me. And then there's no job or no opportunity that you can give a person that should take away that person's right to peacefully show their displeasure with, you know, the current state of things. Like, when we stop growing, we die. When we stop progressing, when we stop trying to get better, is over for us. So if there are people in this country that are invested enough to do the work and make the hard decisions and somehow and sometimes do things you don't like to try to make things better, then that's for the good. That's what we need. We need to be moving forward, not stagnating and feeling like we're as great as we ever could be. We could always be better. And if there are people that are pushing for that, I think this fear that seems to be being shown when somebody tries to make things better is more telling than the kneeling with the opposition. Like, relax. Like, why are you so upset? You know, why are you so upset? I don't want to hear all this crap. Stop putting microphones in front of old people's faces. They're going to say dumb shit. Like, I'm going to get you a pass, Dicko, on CTE and you being old. But I do have to speak on it. And the last thing that I found out that he said, and this wasn't recent. This was back in 2017 when I think Cap was starting the kneeling protest. He said in the interview back then that there's been no oppression in the last 100 years that I know of. And that's the one, Mike, Iron Mike, like, yeah, you took too many blows to the head, man. Like seriously. And I'm not trying to be mean or demeaning to you at all, Iron Mike, but if you can't see that things have not been great for certain groups in this country, if you really feel like there's been nothing, like then you, I don't know, maybe you're sheltered, maybe you're in a bubble, but that is the problem. Talib Kweli, I was watching an interview with Talib Kweli recently, and he said something that really stuck out to me. We'll get back to Talib later. Don't worry. But he said, without empathy, there's no justice. You know, and Ben Franklin, if we want to get to what this country stands for, Iron Mike, Ben Franklin said, you know, justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are. Like, empathy is the key here. If you can't see, if you can't look at what's happening to another group and feel compassion for that group and want to see better, then yeah, you know, that's un-American, if you ask me. Sorry. I'ma get off Mike Dicker. That didn't sound right. I'ma leave Mike Dicker, and I do want to talk more to white people for a second here, because I had another experience this weekend that threw me for a loop. So here's a message to white folks. You don't need to go out of your way to explain to black people how you're on our side, right? Like, it comes off as insincere, and you know, it comes off as a distraction. Like, look over here, don't look over here. Especially when it's like, it's unprompted. Like, it comes out of nowhere. I was in a Uber, and I had a Uber driver just randomly start talking to me about how he knows that it's harder for a black man in this country than it is for him, and how he works at a place where the majority of people are black and he's the minority. And but you can ask anybody there if anybody ever needs help, you know, they can come to me and I help them right away. And it's like, all right, you know, all right, cool, you know. You know, the black delegation, you know, appreciates your service. Thank you for being a decent human being. But you know what? Like, good people never have to say, like, good people never have to tell people that they're a good person unless it's coming right on the heels of something that would suggest otherwise. It's like when you're going out of your way to explain to me how you're a good person and how you, you know, do things for black people and how you understand, like, it comes off as like, what, so what are you what is it that you don't want me to know? Because I didn't ask you none of this. Like, why are you telling me this so that I'm, you know, are you telling me this so that when I hear the other shit, I'm like, oh, nah, he's a good person. I talked to him already. So yeah, just chill with that. Relax. You know, I didn't get in the Uber wearing a mask because I planned on robbing you. Like, it's mandated, bro. Like, so you don't have to get me on your side so you can feel safe. Like, it's no beef. Like, just chill. Like, I wasn't thinking about it until you started talking about it. And now I'm wondering why you're talking about it. So yeah, especially in the Uber, if I get in the back, we actually don't have to talk at all, bro. It's cool. Let it go. All right. So going back to collateral damage, right? We're going to go back to the collateral damage rabbit hole. I told you the segues was going to get worse. You still listening. Blame yourself. Anyway, right before I recorded this, I noticed that Sarah J was trending on Twitter. And of course, I had to look into that. I had to find out about that. So first, let me say, the next dude that pretends not to know who she is, I promise you, I will travel across this country on my e-scooter to have words with you. I will come see you. You leaving your brothers out on a limb trying to pretend like you don't know who Sarah J is. Trying to somehow, maybe that makes you look better that you don't know. You're fucking it up for everybody. And I can't stand for this divisiveness. We need solidarity, brothers. We got to come together. So stop fronting like you don't know who Sarah J is. And for the ladies who don't know who she is, and y'all get the side eye too, because I'm pretty sure you do. Sarah J is a white porn star. And she's trending on Twitter right now out of nowhere. Like, she's old school, like not a new porn star, but like, yeah, like, I don't know, too old to be a porn star anymore. Like, she's old school, you know, and I don't even want to spread this rumor any further, but I feel like I need to talk about it to address the sickness that this rumor is really a symptom of. Right. So. Long story short, and that usually means long story, but Talib Kweli, you know, the artist I mentioned earlier with his comment on empathy and justice, and one of my favorite artists, I'm not going to front like I'm not a fan and maybe a Talib Kweli stan. I'm sure my opinion is biased on this, so let me make sure I get that out early. But he's been being dragged on social media. Hopefully I used that word correctly my first time. He's been being dragged for the last couple of weeks for getting into it with a black woman on Twitter and allegedly harassing her for like multiple weeks. There's some back and forth. He recently did a live stream on Instagram to kind of explain his side of the story. And again, I'm biased, so maybe I'm leaning toward that in terms of whether or not he actually was harassing her, or whether or not he was there was any reason or rationale behind, you know, what he was doing. But to me, you know, where you stand on that, whether you agree with how he treated this woman on Twitter or whatever is irrelevant. The issue is that the whole idea, so that the reason Sarah J is trending on Twitter right now is that there's all of a sudden been spun up this huge rumor that Talib Kweli slept with her, had sex with Sarah J at some point. And two things. One, and like, okay, if he did, like, what does that mean? Like, I guess people are using it to say like him being his pro-blackness is invalidated because he may have had sex with this white woman. Like, I'm not sure how that correlates or makes any sense. I don't know if it's the whole, I don't understand the HOTEP thing, but that word is being used a lot on Twitter. Like, y'all got to explain shit to me. I'm old and I don't know where all this came from. But then the other thing is like, there are no receipts for this. Like, there's this completely unsubstantiated as far as I can see at this point. Like, even the websites I went to that are reporting this, you know, Talib Kweli allegedly slept with Sarah J, are saying they don't know where the tweet originated from. Like, they don't know where this spun up from. I even saw one dude saying, I don't have the receipts, but I wanted to get it to you first. Like,
stop it.
Chill. Like, come on, man. That's so not cool. Like that we just, we get information and we want so badly to be the first person with the information that we take no time to fact, like whether it's real, substantiated, whether it makes sense at all, like just so we can be first, we got to get it out there. And then once you see it, you judge it immediately and respond to it again without like, as if because it's on Twitter, it got to be true, or because 100 people said it on Twitter, it got to be true. It's trending, so it got to be true. And like, you know, you dig and you can't even find the shit behind it. But at the end of the day, like, here we have a person that there are receipts for Tlaib's activism. I don't know where you stand on his Twitter beef with this woman recently. I don't know all the facts. It looks bad. It looks bad. I heard his explanation and a lot of it makes sense to me, but I still see how, like, if you are in a position where you don't believe anything that he says because of what he's done or what you've seen him do, or it looks like he did, then his explanation means nothing to you. But regardless of that, like, there are actual receipts of his activism and his work in the community. Why, for some reason, all of that would be, you know, diminished because of an unsubstantiated claim that he had sex with a white woman, which has nothing to do with being an activist. I don't see the correlation. It makes no sense, but we running with it. She's trending on Twitter. Like, this woman who has no reason to be, you know, a topic of discussion right now is trending because her name is attached to a guy that everybody, you know, is acting like they can't stand anymore. But for some reason, we still talk about it. He's left Twitter. Like, he left Twitter. He gave up his whole Twitter thing. And if you know of Tlaib, he's been like a Twitter warrior. Like, he'll fight with anybody on Twitter about anything, especially white supremacy and stuff like that. And it gets to be a lot. I think a lot of his fans have been like, dude, just stop giving him shine by like talking to him. But it's what he does. He said in his whole explanation that he's a grown man. He likes to do this stuff on Twitter, and that's what he does, you know. And he doesn't think he has to explain that to anybody. You know, if somebody says something to him that he don't like, he's going to say something back. And if they continue the conversation, he's going to continue it, whether they're trolling or whatever. You don't think they're important enough to get the, you know, to get that kind of attention from him. That's not your call. That's his. So I don't know. But yeah, Sarah J trending on Twitter. Dudes, like, if you don't know the name, just go ahead, Google it. Google her picture. Once you see the picture, like, all the memories will come flooding back in. Stop fronting like you don't know who Sarah J is. It's disrespectful to the culture. That's where I get into trouble. I think that might have been the point where I took it too far. All right. So jokes aside, last but not least, something somewhat serious. Speaking on, you know, protecting black women, or, you know, black men and the situation with black women. I told you the segue was going to get bad. Like, I'm trying to do this segue with the Tlaib thing, but it ain't working. Anyway, I do want to say that I feel as black men, we got to take this L on the Megan Thee Stallion. Is it Megan Thee Stallion? Megan Thee Stallion situation. I don't want to make any jokes about this. It's not funny. There's no reason we should ever make light of a woman getting shot by one of us, regardless of the circumstances that we'll never really know that may or may not have surrounded it. As a man, my mother always taught me that if a woman can make you angry enough that you want to hit her, you need to leave immediately. Like, hitting her is not an option, no matter what she does. And if she can get you there, then you don't need to be around that woman. You need to get away from her as fast as you possibly can. And by extension, if she makes you want to shoot her, then you need to get away from her, call the police, get some help. I don't know, you know, 100 options before you shoot her. Like, if you shooting somebody, your life need to be in danger. And I think in that situation, you know, you would have known whether or not your life was in danger prior to being in the situation where you got to now shoot somebody in the foot. Like, yeah. So we No jokes, no trying to figure out what she said. Let's not do the Chris Brown thing. Or what did she say to him to make him go off? Like, irrelevant. We don't need to do that. This can't happen. And when it does happen, we need to be outraged and we need to be supportive of the victim. And I don't care what could possibly have taken place in that car. The option to get out the car to me was always there. And there's nothing a person can do to justify you shooting them if they ain't shoot you first or they ain't pull out a gun first. They ain't have a weapon. If your life was not in danger and you shot the person, like, end of discussion. We don't need to go any further. So, yeah. But dudes, stop carrying weapons if you know you're going to be under the influence. You know, if you're emotional and you know you're going to be drinking or doing whatever, like, maybe you shouldn't have a gun on you. So you can make a stupid decision like that. Like, there's so many areas in this situation where we need to man up and take the L and do better. But for the people who didn't shoot Megan Thee Stallion, but had things to say about it, like, nah, we can't do that. Can't make jokes about this. It's a messed up situation. And I hope everything turns out okay for her. I hope, you know, Tory figures out his deal and what he needs to do to not be in situations like this again and to make better decisions if he ever is in a situation like this again. But for our women, before we can, there's so many things going on in the world right now, and before we can ever protect them from an external threat, we got to be able to protect them from ourselves. We got to be able to allow them to feel safe around us. And in situations where we start questioning people on why they got shot, that don't make anybody feel safe. Imagine if it was you and you got shot and somebody, well, what did you do? Like, nah, fuck that. Take the L. We got to do better. That's my two cents. All right. So coming to the end of this episode, we've been all over the place. I don't know. I don't know how much I said that I'm gonna get in trouble for. We'll find out. Hit me up anywhere. We can continue this discussion. We can continue this discussion tomorrow. Matter of fact, if you're listening to this episode on Monday when it's released, the next day I will be doing the Tickle Me Tuesday. Got to find a better name. Vocal Tickle Me Tuesday live stream on Vocal. It'll be another evening with Flan. This week I have a special guest, very, very special guest. My homie Jay, the host of the Just Say Words and Saturday Series podcast, will be joining me. It's completely unscripted. I'm not a comedian. I ain't trying to write jokes for this thing. I'm trying to sit down with people that I think are dope, have conversations, and I'm sure we'll be able to figure out something humorous to say in there. Definitely with me and Jay. Maybe we'll pick up on the conversation from this episode. Maybe we'll talk about, you know, his latest episode. I don't know, but I guarantee you it'll be a dope conversation and you don't want to miss it. If you want to participate and be in the room with us, you know, talk back and forth, go to getvocal.com. That's getvocal.com. You can sign up there, and that way you can be in the room. We can see you. You can see us, and we can really vibe. It's going to be a vibe. But that's tomorrow, the Tuesday, July the 28th, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. I'm in Central Time, so 8 p.m. I got to put that out there. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a good time. Man, other than that, you know, as always, ttcharities.org. Please check them out with everything that's going on. If you're looking for a way to be impactful, if you're looking for a way to make a difference, my homie Tavares always has something going on, always has a way you can help. Donate anything that you can, time, money, clothes, books. If it's nothing more than a like, retweet, repost, everything helps. But, you know, let's be our brother's keeper. Take care of one another. TTCharities.org. Check them out and see what you can do to help. My man Zaya Fitness. We went Zaya Fitness on Instagram. We did a run earlier today. That's Zayah Fitness on Instagram. Check him out. He's your health and fitness guru. He ran with me today. We getting the miles up. We hit way more hills than I was ready for. And gassed out, but I'm gonna get back. And when I run the next marathon, I'm gonna get a GoPro or something. I don't know. I'm making wild claims. It's never gonna happen, but I'm trying to get back there. And I believe Zaya can get me there. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I think he can get you there too. So check him out. If you need some, you know, fitness and health advice, he's the guru, ZAYAH Fitness on Instagram. Man, last but not least, I really feel the need to say this before I check out. Crazy times right now. Really, really crazy times. And with everything going on and things being shut down and social distancing, people in the recovery community, and I speak for this community because I'm a part of them. You know, so again, not saying anybody else doesn't have it as bad, but this is just me speaking from my personal experience. This is a tough time for us. Meetings and things like that are hard to come by. You can't have the interaction and the fellowship with the people that you're accustomed to having. And this is medicine for a lot of people in that community. And so a lot of people are without their medicine right now. So if you know somebody who's ever struggled with any sort of addiction or substance abuse, check in on them. Check in on them. See how they're doing. They may really need you right now. They may really need to know, you know, someone cares. And I just want to spread that message. And if you are struggling, I care. And if you ever want to chop it up, talk, you know, hit me on any of, you know, the platforms. Email at flan@whatistws.com. I'm on Twitter. We got the Facebook group. DM me, whatever. We can have a conversation. And that goes for anybody. You don't have to be suffering from addiction. That's all I got. Until we speak again, be safe and be the light. And I'm rocking out with a snippet from freestyle from Royce da 5'9". Somebody commented earlier this week that J. Cole was the greatest rapper alive. And as much as I love Cole, I had to respond like, I don't know, Royce got it. So here's my receipts for that. Let's rock out.
My portfolio expands, income from the slick sands. While the FBI trying to give the M1 to the stick man. Spit them bragging bars, grab your balls, that's a speech from all. They told us money talks, ain't tell us wealth, don't speak at all. You a fan of ours or you not a fan of art? I'm a dog balling for Los Angeles broads. My cannon bark, jam and spark. Edit talk, skip. Hold up, skip. Man, this bitch sounding like Shannon Sharp. Don't get your soul thrown to the deacon by where this week is news. For violating the dude.